My guest on Simply Folk has become a legend in the folk world. He's a deeply talented and prolific songwriter and compelling performer. John Gorka released a new recording last year, his first in a few years, and he's here to share some music and conversation. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm really, really glad to be here. I'm glad you're having it inside.
That's right. You're here on one of those cold, cold, cold winter days. Well, and that, I just mentioned your new recording. Since you brought up the weather, let's talk about that
a little bit.
Because it has kind of a theme running through it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of winter. And it starts off in a blizzard in Iowa. But it ends with a note of springtime. So there's quite a bit of winter. My wife is from Minnesota. I'm from New Jersey originally. And I've been in Minnesota for about 19 years. And my wife said that this record was the first one where it seemed like it had a sense of the Midwest. I didn't really think of it that way. But I knew there was winter and mortality in the record, but I didn't really get the Midwestern thing exactly. But
it does. I understand it now. It does have that sensibility of that upper Midwest and.
So that happens with a song sometimes. I write the song and I think it's done, but I don't really know exactly what it's about or what it means to other people. So I'm always glad to discover after the fact.
Oh, and that's the mark of a great song, I think, when the interpretation is so open, depending on the experience of the listener and
right.
the performer.
I think I have my own idea what the song's about, but other people tell me what the song means to them, and they're perfectly valid interpretations. And I think it really makes it easier to sing a song over and over again when I realize that it's a bigger song than I thought. You know, it's not just about my little life.
Oh, they have your lyrics in particular pack such a powerful punch in such a small amount of space. And depending on your own experience, you do feel it in a different way.
Depending on your life. The listener completes the song.
Yeah, neat. Yeah. Well, why don't we start with something?
Okay.
What would you like to start
with?
I'll do
kind of an introductory song. I'll do the song. I often do. I kind of take a poll of the audience to see who has not seen me play live before, because it's often a kind of a different thing if they've just heard my name or heard a recording. So I have this song. This seems to help, and it's. I won't even tell you what it's called. It's kind of self-explanatory. I'm from New Jersey. I don't expect too much. If the world ended today, I would adjust. I'm from New Jersey. No, I don't talk that way. I watched too much TV when I was young. I'm from New Jersey. My mom's Italian. I've read those mafia books, we don't belong. The girls from New Jersey who had that great big hair, once found in shopping malls, I will take you there. I'm from New Jersey. It's not like Texas. No, there is no mystery. I can't pretend. I'm from New Jersey. It's like Ohio, but even more so. Imagine that. I know which exit and where I'm bound. Tolls on the parkway, they will slow you down. I Jersey people, they will surprise you, 'cause they're not expected to do too much. They will try harder, they may go further, 'cause they never think that they are good enough. I'm from New Jersey, I don't expect too much. If the world ended today, I would adjust. Yes, I would adjust. I would adjust.
John Gorka, and I would guess the title of the song.
Yes,
I'm from New Jersey.
Exactly, you guessed it. Yes.
So, what was that journey from New Jersey to the Upper Midwest?
Well, I grew up my first 18 years in New Jersey, and I moved to Pennsylvania to go to college in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I stuck around there because of a club called Godfrey Daniels Coffee House. Stuck around there for almost 20 years. And then before moving to Minnesota, my wife's from Minnesota, and I met her through Bob Feldman from Red House Records. They're friends. And they put on a festival on the St. Croix River called Summer Folk, and I met her there in 1988. Then it was a kind of a long distance relationship until we finally got married in 1996.
And she got you to Minnesota.
Yes.
Well, you don't spend as much time in Minnesota maybe as you'd like. You're on the road
an awful lot. I still travel quite a bit. Not as much as I did before getting married and having kids and everything. I'm still out quite a bit. I go for short trips, about two, three, or four shows, and then I go home and do that. Try to do that two weekends in a row, and then the third weekend to try to stay home and catch up. And if I'm away any longer, I would become dispensable. So
I'm familiar somewhat with Bethlehem. I used to sing with the Bach Choir of Bethlehem.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah.
I lived
wow.
not too far from there, so
yeah,
I know the coffee house you're talking about.
Right.
And they have done some real cutting-edge things lately in terms of different business models and memberships and things like that. Do you still keep in touch with the
folks
there? I do.
I'm not exactly sure of everything that what they're doing as far as to keep themselves going. I know they've... it's been a struggle for a long time, but they've managed to stay in Bethlehem in business, so to speak, for it'll be 30 years next year.
Oh,
next
wow.
spring, yeah.
Will you go
40,
back for some
years.
Kind of? Are you going to be back for celebration?
Is it 40 years? Is that 76? Is that 40 years?
That'll be 40 years.
Wow. 40, wow, yeah.
That's impressive.
That's an amazing thing. Is that it used to be a donut shop. 7 East 4th Street, and Dave Fry and Cindy Dinsmore, they really made that place happen, and it was an incredible place of inspiration to me. I started going there. A friend of mine, Doug Anderson, took me down there on a weekday night, and they were sitting around in the front room passing around the guitar, and it just had this great feel. There's old barn wood on the walls, and it just had this great feeling to it, and I thought, man, this is what Greenwich Village must have been like in the '60s. And but eventually, I got to go see what Greenwich Village had become, and I wished it was more like Godfrey's. I'm glad they're still going.
Is that the first place you ever got up and sang in public?
I sang some in high school, in the church folk group. I did that, and I did played in a couple things in high school, but I started at the playing at the school coffee house the very first night of college. They had a freshman orientation coffee house that I signed up for, and I played at that in every coffee house they'd let me, and eventually I ran the coffee house program and stuck around after that because of Godfrey Daniels.
So you knew what your calling was pretty early on.
I think so. You know, I knew out of high school, I think that I knew I wanted to pursue music because I had started writing songs, but I had no idea that it would, you know, if it was a possible way of making a living. But when I saw the people at Godfrey Daniels, when I started to go there to see the shows, I thought, man, this is that's what I would like to be. If I can be one of those people, that would be the greatest thing. And I hung out there for a long, long time, and I just loved being there. I loved how my favorite performers could transform the room and make it into make magic in this little place. And eventually, I became kind of the. In addition to running the open mics, I became the house, kind of the house opening act for songwriters coming through, and a lot of the. Songwriters who I opened shows for opened doors for me in other parts of the country, and that was a real great gift.
You know. Oh, yeah, it's networking, kind of a cliche, but boy, what a nice place to be to encounter all those people.
Yeah, just kind of watching from the wings, you know, being the sound man sometimes and MC and usher, but it just. I got to see so many great shows there and meet so many performers coming through. I just loved it.
You talk about people that can transform the room, and I know that you're one of those. So your spirit goes out and lifts people up. But you wrote a song about another performer that you saw, and maybe at Godfrey Daniels, and that was Stan Rogers.
That is
a popular song and a very powerful song. Would you be able to do that one for us? I hate to put you on the spot.
Let's see if I can get that a go.
You don't have to, but it just came to mind as you were talking about that.
I have that in a different tuning, but maybe let's see if we can give it a try. That's how legends are made.
I worked at a place where the bands came through. Some of them ran false, some rang true. I'd stick around after they played to see how legends were made. There's just a few that stand out in my mind. Some of them still roll and some are lost to the grind. Now you ask me of the special ones, where all the legends have gone. There was a man came from north of here. He could raise his voice and he could raise a beer. And when he left, the music stayed. And that's how legends are made. Surprised us to see just how high he stood. Hard to believe someone could sing that good. We shared more gold than any band was paid. And that's how legends are made. So long, it was nice meeting you. But how do you get back to Route 22 from here? The band was a bass man with a brother on lead. There was no more, 'cause there was no need. So fine to see what they could give, 'cause legends call us to live. They came in high and they came in low, worn by the miles and fresh from home. Hard work, magic, then some tragic end, and so a legend begins. So long, it was nice meeting you, but how do you get back to Route 22 from here? I worked at a place where the bands came through, and some rang true. I'd stick around after they played to see how legends were made.
That's how legends are made. Wow.
That's most of it.
Yeah.
That's all the words anyway.
That sounded wonderful. Well, your guitar, it's a Martin, is that
it
right?
It is a Martin, yes. Yep. Yeah, I lived in, Bethlehem is right near Nazareth.
Nazareth, where they, right.
And this guitar, I guess I was, I probably played at Godfrey's one night, and Dick Boak and Chris Martin from Martin Guitar were in the audience, and I was playing a Canadian guitar, I think, and they said to each other, we got to get him playing a Martin, and so they said they schemed for a couple of years, and then they gave it to me.
Wow.
They gave it to me and hired me for a couple shows, and that was very nice. That was a good day.
That is a good day. That's right. It has a beautiful tone quality. Here. Well, yeah, being from that area, you have to. Have to play a
so
Martin.
Yes, I think that was probably about 15 years ago now. I've been playing this guitar.
So let's hear something from your new CD.
All right. Let's see. Maybe I'll play the title song. I'm using a partial capo here that covers the middle four strings. I got to make sure I put it on right so that the open strings ring out and. Don't buzz. Okay, I think it's ready. It's called Bright Side of Down, and it came out of the title came out of a conversation I had with a friend in New Hampshire, Tom Pierzoli. He's a very talented singer, songwriter, guitarist, and painter, and he runs a concert series in New London and New Hampshire. And I stayed at his house afterwards, and I was getting ready to leave, and I was telling him how I really like my down winter coat. Because it's really lightweight and it's warm and it packs down to nothing in the suitcase when I have to fly. And he said, "Yeah, that's the bright side of down." And when he said that, I said, "Oh boy, I've got to use that." So it became a song, and became the title song. So this is Bright Side of Down. Time takes almost everything. Me and time will take my time. I look around for things to bring to ease the way down the uphill climbs. On the bright side of down, this side of the ground, it's a long way around. They say that time is slowed by speed, but really that's not the way it seems. Maybe the key is thoughtful words and deeds to open up the voices of your dreams.
bright side of down, this side of the ground, it's a long way around and around. There are a few things we can pass along, and maybe that will be enough. Half the distance to the beautiful, with some of the many ways to love. On the bright side of down, this side of the ground, it's a long way around and around. To live a long, long time for eyes that light up everything they see. Can't check out early like those friends of mine. The faster you go, the less you need. The bright side of down, this side of the ground, it's a long way around and around. The bright side of down, this side of the ground, it's a long way around and around.
Title track from the newest recording by John Gorka, The Bright Side of Down. Boy, what a thought-provoking song that is.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, it's thinking about the future and what, you know, I've got kids that are 17 and 15, and I think the world is so different now than it was when I was their age. And what advice can I give them? Probably not a lot. So I guess I was thinking about that, and I guess the mortality, I think, is kind of a theme. So that's in there.
It certainly is, but also, you know, the kindness and thoughtful deeds, and you know, it's a way to live.
Well, that's I remember reading about Pop Staples and from the Staples Singers, and he. You know, what he tried to do with his life and his music is just try to lay down a good path, and I thought that was a nice way of putting it. And so I guess that's what I would hope to be, if I set down a good path and maybe be a link in the chain, and not much more.
That's a beautiful thing to be able to be, and. As I was getting ready to talk with you, I was looking at what people had written and experience that they've had in your shows. And boy, there's a sense of, well, I mentioned it before, being lifted up, a sense of, I think you used the word even refuge, that the music is a refuge.
Yeah, I think that's what music has always been for me. I worked at it, but it was never work. And it was the place I would do that when it was kind of like company when there were no humans there, and so it was always that way. something special, and I always tried to keep it that way. As soon as it became work, I would go and do something else, you know. I work at it, but it's always a joy, and my favorite place to be is in the middle of a song. If I can be working on a song, and it may not be a song that anybody will ever have to hear, but I just love the sense of possibility when I'm in the middle of a song.
Do you ever get the sense when you're writing a song that it's part of the purpose of the song is a message for you, that every time you're singing it, you're getting some kind of reinforcement of what you need to know?
I think the strongest songs often come out of the strongest feelings, and if I can find a phrase or something that is the it could be a musical phrase or a lyrical one, but if I can get the sound of the feeling, then I feel like I'm doing my job. And I think it's just trying to make a connection, because I've always been not a natural performer, not naturally outgoing, horribly shy often, and incredibly socially awkward. So music has been my way of kind of getting outside of that, and being able to say what I want to say that I'm not able to articulate off stage.
Well, and the good music, the beautiful songs, what you write amplifies that, so that, I mean, the English language is so terribly limited in expressing what life is and what our feelings mm-hmm. are. But if you get just the right combination of words and just the right combination of chords and melody, you can get to something magical where you connect to it on a level that's not at all literal. It's very deep.
Yeah, I think that's what music... I knew I wanted to be a writer before I knew music was going to be the way. And then when I started writing songs, I found that the combination of what I could articulate in the lyrics and what I can't find words for, but may be able to express with the music, that combination is just as close to a perfect form of expression that I'll ever be able to manage. So I don't know, songs can come any number of ways, and I just try to be open to the possibilities. It could be something I play on the guitar, or something, a phrase I hear or mistakenly hear. it can come in any number of ways, and I just try to. It's still still a mysterious kind of a thing, and so I'm grateful that I get to do this, you know, and it's a joy.
And for all of us, too.
Well, thank you.
How about another one from your new recording?
Sure. Sounds like maybe to be a springtime song.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Not a Springsteen song, but a
springtime song. Thinking about spring would be pretty nice right about now when the wind chill factor's been well below zero for a few days.
See, maybe I'll try this one. This one is this is called Thirstier Wind, because it's kind of inspired by the, it's often probably here as well at home in Minnesota, it often takes a dry wind to take the last of the snow away, and that's what this is called, Thirstier Wind. Sing for love, geese and eagles move through. Last night the moon above called to coyotes so blue. Every spring is a victory when the winters are this cold. At this point there's a history, keeps you from growing too old. The river will rise and the river may flood. More day in your eyes, more night in your blood. I took it as a sign that spring could really come back. Need a thirstier wind to take the rest of the snow. We don't need to look in to feel what we know.
Every spring is a victory when the winters are this long. At this point, there's a mystery where it went wrong. The river will rise and the river may flood. More day in your eyes, more night in your blood. The river will rise and the river may flood. More day in your eyes, more night in your blood.
Thirstier Wind is the name of that song, also from the newest recording called Bright Side of Down.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, another really thought-provoking, powerful song.
That's some springtime imagery in there that I think inspired by hearing coyotes at night. And then sometimes you hear when the geese start to, you hear the geese have coming north again. It's a nice. Nice feeling.
You look for those signs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The willows turn a little bit yellow. Mm-hmm. Things start to happen. Yep. Yep. Well, would you like to close with one more song?
Sure.
Love to hear one more if I can press you into more service.
I like playing because I didn't like the way I talked, so I have no problem with singing a song. Let's see. This is the one that I could do a love song. I mean, I may do this. Let's try this one. We did have that January thaw. That was a nice thing. But so this is called Really Spring. Is it really spring? This were really spring and not just a thaw. I'd get out my colored pencils and I'd set about to draw. For soon there would be flowers and soon there would be green. My yellows and my blues to match the greenest green I've seen. I will draw the bird song, returning fine and bright. I will draw them from my memory if I lose my ear or sight. In spring, some band to sorrow, the remnants of a grief, or maybe just the weight of time on the structures underneath. Dirt roads and I will not fear for ice. Like the snow, it's all gone underground. Boots to pay the money price. I will draw the world at morning, coming out of night. I will draw the world the way it is, but I'll make it feel alright. If this were really spring and not just a tease, I declare our side the winner, me and winter on our knees. Me and winter on our knees.
And that's the final song on the CD, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it ends with a touch of spring.
It's a great way to bring it all to a close, and another multi-layered song that could have so many meanings depending on where you're coming from.
Yeah, that's like I said, I don't. Sometimes there are kind of straight story songs. Other times it's kind of a voyage of discovery, and I hope people don't mind going along for the ride.
Oh, I think they enjoy it very much. I know here in Wisconsin you have many, many fans.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for a lot for having me on.
Oh, we're delighted. Thanks for coming by, and I hope we'll see you again sometime soon.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thanks, John.